Okay, so we're taking a deep dive today into medieval Europe, like back in the day, knights and castles.
Yeah, but it's a lot more than just that.
Right. I mean, we're using this document. It's called World History Medieval Europe Topic 6, and we're looking at lessons 4, 5, and 7. And they get into some pretty heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's a really fascinating period.
It's like our treasure map to the Middle Ages.
Exactly. And you find all these terms and events, and it just brings the whole era to life, I think.
It does. And one of the things that jumped out at me right off the bat is this term, capitalism. It's like a revolutionary concept,
It
right?
really was.
The idea of private ownership, not everything being controlled by the state.
Yeah, it was a huge shift. And the interesting thing is how this impacted the social dynamics of the time.
Yeah, like how did it actually play out with the people?
Exactly. You know, we have the emergence of this group called the bourgeoisie.
Oh, the
They
bourgeoisie.
were essentially the middle class, the entrepreneurs of their day.
Okay, so they're rising up, making money.
They're gaining economic clout, and that brings them into contact and maybe even conflict with the established power structures.
Oh, so they're rubbing shoulders, maybe not so nicely, with the patricians.
Exactly. The patricians, those wealthy landowners who had held sway for so long.
And you know, it's not all sunshine and roses.
No.
Because right there in the document, it also mentions anti-Semitism.
Right.
Like already there.
Yeah, a reminder that progress is not always a straight line.
It's a dark side to that same era.
Absolutely.
So we've got these economic shifts happening, but then looming over everything is the church.
Oh, yeah.
Undeniably powerful.
Hugely influential.
And they get into like this whole intellectual side of it, theology and scholasticism. And I got to be honest, like when I hear scholasticism, I think, oh, dusty old books, right?
Right, but it's more than that. Imagine these scholars. They're using logic, reason, to try to understand the mysteries of faith.
Really? So it wasn't just blind faith.
It was more nuanced than that. It was like an early form of theological debate
Wow.
with thinkers like Thomas Aquinas trying to reconcile faith and reason.
So they're already wrestling with those big questions back then.
They were.
But then you've got this whole power struggle thing going on, lay investiture.
Yes.
Like, who gets to appoint people to all the important positions in the church?
Yeah, that was a big one. Secular rulers versus the church.
Because those appointments, they had a lot of weight.
Oh, absolutely. Spiritual authority, political influence. It was a major point of contention.
So it's like a tug of war for power, but with like eternal consequences.
Exactly. And then you have something like the interdict.
Oh, the interdict, yeah, that's oh, like a big hammer.
It was a powerful weapon in the church's arsenal.
The Pope basically saying, no more sacraments for you.
That's right.
And sacraments, they weren't just like rituals.
No, they were seen as essential for salvation.
So to have that cut off, I mean, imagine the fear.
Absolutely, it would have been terrifying for people.
They're thinking, am I going to heaven or not?
Exactly. It had a profound impact on their lives and their relationship with the church.
Speaking of which, you know, when we think about expressions of faith during this time, we've got the document talking about monasticism,
Yes.
like those monks living a very structured life.
Dedicated to prayer, discipline,
And
self-denial.
then you've got these epic poems, the Chanson de Geste.
Filled with heroes, battles, chivalry,
It's a totally different vibe.
but both reflect the values of the time.
How so?
While monasticism represents this yearning for spiritual purity, escape from worldly concerns.
Okay, so they're seeking something higher.
Exactly. Whereas the Chanson de Geste, they're all about action, courage, loyalty, a thirst for glory.
So it's like two sides of the same coin, kind of.
In a way, yes, they offer
Okay.
different perspectives on the medieval mindset.
But it wasn't all, you know, prayers and heroic deeds. There was also this concept of heresy,
Right.
anyone going against the church's teachings.
And that was a big deal.
Like, what kind of stuff were people questioning?
Well, some challenged the church's wealth, its practices. Others had different interpretations of the scriptures.
So the church, they weren't too happy about this.
No, heresy was seen as a threat to their authority.
And they reacted in different ways, I guess.
They did. Sometimes they tried persuasion, sometimes they resorted to harsher measures.
Right, because they had to maintain control.
They did.
And then there's the whole mission to spread the word, missionaries going out,
Trying to bring everyone into the Christian fold.
which ultimately leads us to the Crusades.
Those military expeditions to reclaim the Holy Land.
From the infidels.
Yeah, that term was used to describe those who didn't share their faith.
And the Crusades, I mean, those were brutal events.
They were. fueled by a mix of religious zeal, political ambition, even economic motives.
Wow. So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've seen economic shifts, religious power struggles, epic battle.
It's a lot to take in.
And in the midst of all this, we also see the seeds of modern governance being planted.
We do.
The document talks about common law in England,
which was a huge step towards a unified legal system.
And then you have the Magna Carta.
Oh, a landmark document.
King John being forced to recognize the rights of his nobles.
It limited the king's power, set a precedent for future constitutional developments.
You think that was a step towards democracy?
It's debatable, but it definitely shifted the balance of power.
And then you have France doing its own thing with the tail.
Yeah, a direct tax to fund the crown.
Totally different approaches to power and control.
Each with its own consequences, both intended and unintended.
So to wrap this all up, I mean, this deep dive into medieval Europe, it's been intense.
It has.
But it's also been really eye-opening.
It really highlights how this period, often called the Dark Ages, was actually a time of incredible innovation, conflict, and change.
And it laid the groundwork for so much of what we see in the world today.
It did. And that's what's so fascinating about studying history.
Because we see these echoes, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you think? What are some of those echoes that we should be paying attention to today?
Well, consider the concepts we discussed, like capitalism and common law.
Okay.
They have their roots in this era. But how have they evolved? What are their strengths and weaknesses? How do they continue to shape our world?
Those are some big questions.
They are, but they're worth pondering. And that's where our journey ends for today.
But the thinking continues.
It always does.